previously on Dread and Breakfast.
Oh no!
Season 2 starts off. Christine always dies.
How did they stop the witch? How do you get rid of her?
She was stabbed with the branch of a coalwood tree and then drowned. Honey Bunch, why are you asking?
It's just the witch is real. We're taking care of it. Don't worry.
Well, I'm only doing what I've always done, what I've always wanted, to keep things safe and contained. And if that requires a bit of sacrificing every now and again, so be it.
Mayor Oakley, like, scrambles over. You see in her ear tiny little legs of a spider crouched inside.
She is spider-controlled. All right.
I think it might be time for the drawing.
One of our guests, Spencer. Congratulations.
You see the spider jump, and you see it burrow. The venom in its intended small dose stings and sings tranquility through your pores.
Come to me.
And you know exactly where to go. Is red in Spillman. The sunset is one truly befitting the harvest festival. Heavens ablaze with streaks of orange and gold. There is a haze growing in Spillman too. Dark clouds gathering like smoke at the horizon's edge, creeping into that autumnal glory like long fingers poised to snatch the waxing moon. A wind is picking up. The breeze catches some of the pollen from the coalwood trees, whipping the dust into miniature cyclones that whirl up into the sky and disappear. Arthur McGupple looks up from the dunk tank, squinting into the darkening night. Donna and Dorothy huddle together in the line for the lemonade stand, clasping each other's hands and murmuring in confused concern for their son. Across town, we see a glimpse of eyes as Meredith peeks out from one of the hospital windows. Not everyone, it seems, is swept up in celebration. Some of them feel it. Something is not right in Spillman. And this year's drawing is only a symptom of a deep and lurking sickness. On the stage, we see Spencer smile. It's an odd smile, though. Her lips curve and her teeth flash, sure, but it rings hollow, like someone else is tugging at the skin, pulling the strings. Spencer turns as Mr. Bankerton begins to escort her off the stage, leaving Mayor Oakley to address the crowd. But before we get to that, I would like to go back to the moment that the spider jumped. Hi, Christine.
Hello.
So it's just us here for now. We will bring Fob and Jacob back in a little later. But so last time, you knocked the tower over, and as a consequence, Spencer has been removed from the game. She is under the full control of the witch and is therefore no longer playable. And that means that you need a new character.
Oh, I get a new character.
You do.
There's always the fear that if a character becomes doomed, that I just am going to sit back for the rest of the story. So it's nice to know that I get to re-engage.
And so character creation in Dread is really, really fun and engaging and also pretty easy comparatively. There's no math. Basically, the dreaded game master will come up with a series of questions for players to answer. They can be things like, what do you carry in your pocket with you all the time? Or what lie did you tell your dad before he died? Or like anything.
Oh, God.
You never know. The Dread book, written by Epidiah Ravikol, go check it out, it's awesome, has like 1,000,000,000 examples, but it's basically through these answers that players create and get a sense of their characters. And Christine, you had suggested that it might be fun if we answered a couple of them together on mic. So, I'm very excited.
Me too. I can't stop smiling. I'm so excited.
Excellent. I think it'll become pretty obvious as to what we're going for once we get started. So let's just dive right in. So Christine, your character is here at the Harvest Festival. You are awash in the sound of the crowd, in the collective anticipation and excitement that turns the air electric. You are surrounded by your fellow townsfolk, your friends, people who have molded and shaped you your entire life. And then it happens. That moment. We are in that moment with you, the moment when the spider jumps into Spencer's ear, and for you, time stretches. The instant weighs itself down with its own significant magnitude, dragging us into bullet time. The applause around you grows into a muffled, fuzzy hum. Your chest feels tight, your brain feels tight. Every inch of your every limb strains against unseen threads, like you're being constricted and bound in an intricately tight web. Everything that you experience next happens in the span of seconds, as flashes of your life dance behind your eyes. First question. You were born and raised here in Spillman. What is your fondest childhood memory?
It's a perfect summer day, and I am running through the woods with my best friend. We are, I want to say, like, very early middle school. So we're still kids. Mm. We haven't turned into teenagers yet. We still are very earnest about everything. We're probably like 10 at this point, and we're running through the woods together. It's the middle of the day, but the cover of the trees gives us shade so that we can keep going even as the sun reaches its highest point of the day. And this is something that we have been doing for years. I think we always tend to run on the same trails and in the same areas. At a certain point, we took a new path and we found a new entrance into Lake Kestrel, a part of the lake that we didn't typically go towards. And just in our excitement, we ran into the water, didn't even bother to take our shoes off. Which, you know, the bottom of the lake is gross anyway with mud and fronds. So it was probably better. But yeah, we just like enjoyed running through the forest, just being wild children together. Like diving headfirst into the lake, feeling like nothing could harm us on this like carefree summer day.
Yeah, it is a moment of pure childhood bliss and euphoria. You both feel the sun filtering down. You hear the water lapping against the lake. As you get out eventually to dry off, you hopscotch between patches of sunlight and shadow from the forest canopy, and you can hear the summer chorus of birds and insects providing this beautiful melody to a beautiful memory. And speaking of hearing, I got another spider fact for you, Christine!
Oh, shit!
Yes, right, I still got some of these
shit. Spider fact! That's the nervous version.
Yes, it's just you alone in a forest full of spiders.
No, it was carefree. It was euphoria. No spiders allowed. Thank you. Goodbye.
Well, they might be far away from you because according to Liz Langley at the National Geographic, ogre-faced spiders have an exceptional sense of hearing.
Oh.
They don't have conventional, like, ears. They detect an impressive amount of frequencies through the nerves and sensory, like, receptors Whoa. In their legs.
Whoa.
And they can hear predators and prey from over 6 feet away.
That's as long as me.
But spiders or not, you have grown up with the forest as your playground. You and your friends, dear friends, have such memories of this place. It is as much a part of you as the brick and mortar that make up the town. And you've also grown up hearing stories about the witch in the woods, but that's never really dissuaded you. The woods have always felt safe, protected, like home. Even though sometimes in the woods, you could have sworn you heard someone singing. In an instant, in a moment, again, as you're remembering these things in bullet time, there is a shift, an exhale of breath. As one of the threads of the web wound round your soul snaps. Second question. Describe the moment that everything changed.
Well, it came in a very inopportune time because I had just been elected as mayor of Spillman.
Oh, congratulations. What a hard-earned battle. Who are you running against? Give me a name.
I was just thinking, yeah. You know what? I think that I, like, unseated an incumbent mayor. Like, it was very much a deeply fought and well-earned win. I think the former mayor was named Oscar Grufton.
Incredible. Of the Grufton lineage.
Yes, yes.
Wow. You beat out a Grufton.
I did
Incredible.
Beat a Grufton. Yeah. a little Olivia Oakley. But, you know, I've always loved this town. You know, I had been principal of Forest View. I had been appointed as superintendent and then decided, you know, why stop at schools when I can really use this passion that I have for my hometown to make it better. And so I ran for mayor, and a lot of people thought that, you know, I'm young and I'm a woman, and how could I ever dethrone Mayor Grufton? But lo and behold, it was a conclusive victory. It was a great night when I got to accept the election results that I would be the next mayor of Spillman.
Yes, you accepted your mayorship, mayordom, mayoral status,
office,
your office in town hall. There is a flurry of townsfolk who have gathered to see you accept your position, and I think maybe a little more people than usual, especially for Mayor Grufton's most recent and previous term, because this is exciting, as you said, like you are a fresh face with fresh ideas. And so you are slated to get up and give a acceptance speech. But before then, there is a little, not like a cocktail hour, but there are people who are approaching you, who are shaking your hand, who are expressing just such faith in you and excitement for not only everything that you are and who you are, but everything that you stand for. Who, give me like the best interaction you had that evening, quick. Like, what was the high point?
I think, you know, Arnie the Yarny guy,
yes!
He was like such a day one supporter, and like the glow on his face to see that I had won, and like he told me that he had lived in Spillman for so long that at a certain point, he kind of gave up that progress would ever happen until I ran. And so it was so delightful to see him the night of the election. And he had knit me a very special scarf that said Mayor Oakley on it. And it must have taken him so long. And just the fact that he had that faith in me from day one, it just was so heartwarming. The whole evening, I just have been effervescent with joy and pride. And I feel the weight of responsibility for sure. But for the moment, I'm just really trying to soak up as much of this good energy of this victory to carry me forward into my new role.
Oh, incredible. You know Arnie the Arnie Guy definitely repurposed his big Labor Day sale banner into a Mayor Oakley, like, politics banner.
He
painted on the reverse of it, like, vote for Olivia.
Yeah, yeah.
Vote for Oakley.
Okay, for Oakley.
Oh, that's good.
That was our campaign slogan, obviously.
I see why you won. Like, Fantastic. But so you are exchanging this hug with Arnie. He is almost in tears, just so beyond proud of you. And you see someone as you kind of pull away from him, kind of waiting in line to greet you. And this is someone that is so familiar to you. Like you look at her and she is so achingly familiar. You've grown up here, especially as you've been politicking this year. You have really run into and talked to everyone in town to some extent. And yet you still find a little difficulty placing her.
Yeah. This is not the first time that has happened to me, though. I meet a lot of constituents, and they often remember me because I am this public figure, and I am one woman, though I am an intelligent woman. I don't always remember everybody's name, but truly I am grateful, so grateful that she is in attendance tonight.
Yes, and she gives you one of her patented charming smiles. She doesn't reach out to shake your hand or anything. She keeps her hands kind of folded in front of her, and she says,
Mayor Oakley has a nice ring to it. It's good to see fresh blood in a seat of power.
And I mirror her body language and fold my hands in front of me as well. And I say, thank you. And I thank you for entrusting me and putting me here, for supporting me and for voting for me. This, my victory is your victory. Your victory.
Mayor Oakley's in rare form tonight. Her, like, eyebrow kind of quirks up as you speak. And she says,
trust is an excellent virtue. I'm very much looking forward to what you can do for this place.
Well, it's a virtue and it's something that has to be earned, and I hope to continue to earn more and more of it.
Oh, I'm sure you will.
And you are swept away by an announcement from the town speaker.
The town crier. No, we definitely have the Spillman historical reenactment troupe here tonight.
Yes.
So the town crier begins with the bell in the middle of town.
And what does he say? What does he say, Christine?
They say, hear ye, 'tis time to hear from the incoming leader of Spillman. Gather round, all ye good citizens, good gentlefolk of Spillman, hear ye. What year are they from? I don't know, but that's what they say.
They're timeless. But yeah, I think you are escorted up towards, you know, the respectable little stage, and there's a podium set up and miscellaneous other town officials sitting up there. Like, there's the Spillman patriarch, which would be, I think, Ernest Spillman at this point. There's a couple Bankertons.
There's also Miss Spillman, the winner of the Miss Spillman pageant.
Yes, the pageant at the Harvest Festival every year. Of course, how could we forget? There's also the winner of last year's scarecrow competition, which is also a Harvest Festival event.
Naturally.
That we haven't touched on, I guess.
Is it a Harvest Festival without the scarecrow competition? No, come on.
But so you're escorted up onto the stage, I think by someone who is dressed up in George Spillman cosplay, like OG George Spillman. He has like a mining hat on like suspenders and shit. And you spare a glance over your shoulder as you are walking up, and you don't see this woman anymore. But we do. We follow her as she materializes in the back of the crowd. And Eloise watches you ascend the stairs. And she watches you give a big handshake to outgoing Mayor Grufton. And you take your place at the podium. The crowd hushes as they all wait in collective anticipation to hear from their new mayor. What do you say?
Hello, Spillman! What a wonderful evening it is tonight! What a wonderful time to be here together! Thank you all for coming. Thank you for believing in me, but even larger than that, thank you for believing in Spillman. There are many reasons to love our town. Our beautiful mountainside town right on the shores of Lake Kestrel. Our slew of family-owned businesses like Leeches and Cream. Hey, let's get a big round of applause for Leeches and Cream for donating the ice cream for tonight's event. I'm going to get a scoop of that when I'm done here. Our homegrown folk, our neighbors, our families who continue the legacy of hard work set before them by generations of Spillmanites past. But you know, my favorite part about Spillman is our storied history.
And from the back of the room, Eloise kind of mutters to herself,
well, this should be good.
Our history is one that I learned as a young student right here in our public school system. In my second grade class, we put on a pageant telling the story of our beloved, beloved town. In 1889, George Spillman discovered this town.
Incorrect.
He discovered the plentiful mine.
Incorrect.
Discovered the possibilities enriched into the earth of this place.
Incorrect.
He made this a safe place where families can thrive, risk takers can find their fortunes, and where pride runs deep within the community.
And for just a second, your eyes find Eloise in the crowd in a parallel moment in time to one that a different character of yours experiences maybe a couple years later. And you behold Eloise, and she looks offended.
I think I like lock eyes with her for a brief moment. You know, I've been looking through the whole crowd as I've been saying this speech, and like, I don't know why her gaze has locked on mine, but I find myself lingering longer than I intended to, and then catch myself and quickly but I take great pride in saying that I am from Spillman.
And then you feel a bite. A spider that had been perched on the podium lying in wait for you, that while you have been singing the praises of the dead founder of this place, has been slowly climbing, unfeeling up your arm and up, hiding in the folds of that scarf until it tucks itself into your ear, and you feel something you have no words to describe. You feel sweet, stinging, hot venom rush through your veins, and your veins themselves seem to constrict and sing per the witch's command. And you continue your speech, a speech that you see Eloise mouthing with you.
And it is from that pride that I can commit to you as mayor. I will work tirelessly to not only preserve our important past, but enshrine truth into the stories we carry forward in common trust.
And you are greeted with applause and a very self-satisfied smile from the witch.
And a shiver goes up my spine, and a small part of me, I think, comes back. I'm still definitely not totally feeling myself, but I re-realize where I am, and I say, thank you so much. It's going to be a great 4 years, a great 4 years. And I go down the steps to greet another constituent.
And after that, things become fuzzy. Your memories are your own, but also somehow not. From that day on, you have lived with a voice whispering in your ear. Sometimes it leaves you alone, but sometimes it deafens your entire world. Every pulse a puppet string, every action coerced, commanded. But with that memory, the web loosens. Again, this is all happening in a matter of milliseconds, but you feel yourself expand, feel yourself filling up your own body again as another thread inside of you snaps. Last question. What is the question that haunts you the most?
Olivia Oakley was always a girl who did well in school, who from a young age loved Spillman. She was a member of the debate club. She was student council president.
Yes.
She always just seemed to be the person who would one day become mayor. It surprised nobody when she ran for the mayor's seat. But there's always been a part of me that wonders, this path that unfolded before me so clearly, almost without me even trying, it was easy to follow. But did I ever miss something? What might I be if I had ever left Spillman?
And with that acknowledgement, that reckoning, that unspoken what if that has been sitting in your soul for so long, there is a final, definitive snapping of the strings that have held you. There is a white burst of pain as something in your ear dislodges itself and jumps out of you and into the girl standing beside you on stage. Your ears are ringing, you feel warm sunlight and water lapping around your ankles, you hear the roar of a crowd, you feel some deep stirring inside of you whispering, is this all that I will be? And it hits you all at once. The roaring crowd, the blinding stage lights, the acrid coalwood smoke. The spider jumps. Time resumes, and you are yourself. Welcome back, Mayor Olivia Oakley. All right, and welcome back, Fob and Jacob.
Heyo!
Hooray!
So we begin where we left off. You are both pressed up against the stage, craning your necks upward as you watch the spider jump into your friend, Toast, into your sister. You see her twitch and spasm a little before settling back into herself, and you see her head back behind the curtain and leave the stage. And you keep waiting for Spencer to come back around. And Jonathan and Toast, you have this sinking feeling that you cannot shake. And you keep looking for Spencer to come out from behind the back of the stage. And you're sure she's going to be coming out soon. It's not that big. And you're waiting and waiting. And she doesn't come out. Spencer has been removed from the game.
as she is now a full pawn of the witch.
No.
However, I'm pulling some kind of big picture narrative strings here. Even though Spencer is no longer playable in this game, the tower fell. Jonathan and Toast, you have the opportunity to save her before she actually dies.
What?
Save me! Save me!
Okay.
So you two are in the audience, and on stage, Mayor Oakley is looking out over the people. Looking, I don't know. How does she look?
What?
Congratulations again to this year's selection. We look forward to welcoming you back from the woods in the morning. But now, dear friends, as you know, we are to keep our own vigil as we wait.
Uh-huh.
The festival will be going all night, beginning with this year's talent show. We have a delightful rendition of Hamlet by the 8th grade class. We're going to clear off the stage in just a moment, and we'll be ready for the show. Participants, if you could please see Mr. Bangerton for your time slot.
Hey, Marissa, Christine. What the fuck?
So, Christine, Olivia Oakley, how are you feeling?
I am confused.
Yeah, you've just had the very unique experience of being puppeted by a supernatural being for a while and then having that string ripped out and implanted in someone else and found yourself on stage addressing a crowd. Beautifully done.
Thank you.
So Christine will be playing Mayor Oakley, which is so delightful, and I'm fucking here for it.
It's improv, baby. We love it. Give me one little string of a character, and I can go.
Excellent. But yeah, so do you want to be called Mayor Oakley or Olivia? Your choice.
Oh, Mayor Oakley.
Excellent. So yeah, Mayor Oakley, you're on the stage. You turn the reins over to your volunteer cohorts. Jonathan and Toast, you see the mayor leave the stage and you see her come around.
Yeah, she's just stumbling off the stage a little dazed.
Oh no.
I go up to her because she's also in league with the witch ghost. Jonathan, you coming with?
Yeah, I'll follow. Not sure what we're doing, but
she knows where my sister is my thought.
Yeah. No, I'm following you.
Okay. Okay, cool. So I walk up to the mayor and I,
oh no.
I mean, part of me wants to go really psychotic on this lady.
Now is the time for action.
Okay, cool.
You have a limited time.
All right, perfect. Then I walk up to the mayor. She's looking kind of dazed and like walking around and like she needs some sense. So I grab her shoulders and I shake her forcefully and I go, "What the fuck did you do with my sister? Where the fuck did you put my sister?"
Oh, I see you've recovered from your fall earlier. Oh, good.
Where the fuck is my sister? And I start
your
shaking her.
Sister, yes.
Where is Spencer?
That's a really excellent question.
And you're going to answer it right now.
Answer, I will indeed. Yes. Oh, Jonathan, it's so good to see you.
Yeah, where is my business partner, Spencer? Where'd you take her?
So, I believe that she is being prepared for a night in the woods, a little camp out. Yes, that's how it goes.
Where is that?
By the century tree, of course.
That's right, the old tree.
Jonathan, do you know where the old tree is?
Yes, it's on this map. I definitely have up in front of me right now.
Okay, Jonathan, is it against the rules for more than one person to be there?
I mean, it's just like a tree in the woods. I think you just go.
Yeah, they don't own the woods. Okay. Obviously, we're not going to do that. That would be ridiculous. We're going to go back to your house, Jonathan, and spend the night there, right?
Of course. Goodbye.
Now, may I remind you that the century tree is a vestige
of our heritage as the city of Spillman. The town of Spillman. I'm a little not feeling myself.
We'll keep the history vegged, but...
Do you like spiders, ma'am?
I cannot say that I'm very fond of them.
Okay. Can you not unsay that you're not very fond of them?
You've lost me.
And while she thinks on that, I leave.
Well, I will say, before you dip, Toast, you, like, and Jonathan, like, you saw the spider in Mayor Oakley's ear. Mm-hmm. As she is talking to you, like, she is standing a little differently. Her inflection is a little different. Even her voice sounds a little different for some reason. And her ears are empty. There are no spiders in there anymore. Whatever hold that the witch had on her is gone.
I need an otolaryngologist.
A what?
An ear, nose, and throat doctor to examine the mayor's ear canals.
Do you know a guy?
Do you know a guy?
Not in the first story.
Not in the first story? That mechanical weight.
I'm thinking. You don't like spiders?
No, I think I hate them, actually.
What do you think about ghosts?
Very real.
And witches?
Wait, fans of ghosts or not fans of ghosts? Do you like ghosts that go or not?
I think I've had a very intense interaction with a ghost that I do not care for.
That's good enough for me. She can come along.
Do you know how to make the ghost go away?
You do, actually. There is a town legend that Mara Death would have told all of her patients at every family checkup that ghosts can only be hurt / affected by the thing that killed them. There are two legends. One that Eloise was stabbed with the branch of a coalwood tree, which is why Spillman's holding it in the statue, and that she was drowned. That is what the mayor would know, living in town this whole time.
Okay. The legend has it, and I recount everything Marissa just delightfully explained.
Okay.
Perfect. I've got this coalwood dagger, so let's go get our friend.
How fortuitous.
I run for a bucket.
Well, my friend...
There's the dunk tank! I run to grab a bucket, and then I fill it with water from the dunk tank.
Yeah, you do.
Yes!
You know, you just do.
Yes!
You know what? Arthur's in the dunk tank. He's sitting up there, and he gives you a wave.
What does he have to say?
He says, "Oh, hello there. How do you do? I'm going to take a dunkaroo."
Hi, Arthur. I'm going to go kill the witch.
I think... Hang on. I'm computing.
He's definitely going to ask to come along, I feel like. He wants to see the
Arthur,
witch
I'd ask, Arthur, I'd ask you to come along, but then Marissa would have to be you for more time, and we don't need that at this exact moment. Not that you're not delightful.
I mean, I need that.
Oh, this idea fills me with glee. Go and avenge me.
Go and avenge me at the tree.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. But he will get out of the dunk tank and kind of scoop the bucket for you, hand it to you, put a hand on your shoulder, and give you a very, like, very serious, like in superhero movies when they're about to go do the big fight, gives you that kind of look. And he says, "Thank you. You should definitely go. I need to go perform at the talent show." And he'll just walk away. But you have a bucket of water.
Amazing.
So good.
Can we have his golf cart?
No, the golf cart is not there. It is good of you to think of expediency, though. Because I, in real life, am going to set a timer.
Aw, frick.
I'm not going to tell you how long it's going to be.
I hate that.
Oh, frick.
But you will have a limited amount of time to find and save Spencer before she is dead. Just dead, dead. And your time begins now.
Okay.
Well, the sentry tree is this way. Follow me.
And we get to the tree. Done. We're there.
Whip.
Fuck you. All right, I run back to my team, my cohorts. I have a bucket.
I have a stabby.
And I know the way, so follow me.
Excellent.
That's perfect.
Mayor Oakley, are you in like full? You're in like full like heels, like you are living.
Yes,
your
but
life.
She is a boss bitch and can run in those heels. Thank you very much.
You know what? Touche.
You don't shatter the glass ceiling by being frail.
Amazing.
Perfect. So Mayor Oakley, Jonathan, Toast, you all run back towards the back forest. The sentry tree is kind of like dead center and back in the woods, and you head out of there. The earth that as you go from town square is a little uneven somehow. It's a little unsteady, like the whole town is one breath away from caving in on itself, and you all tear towards the tree, tearing for some lost thread of hope that you will get there in time. As you depart from the stage, we see Arthur McCouple. He is
amazing.
Dripping wet
amazing.
From the dunk tank, and he's uncharacteristically nervous. You see his hand is shaking, in which he's holding a small spiral-bound notebook, and his words follow you, follow us as you move, as you search frantically. We hear them carry on the wind as he says,
for my talent, I'd like to share a poem I wrote, adapted, really, from a story we quote quite often, but don't quite believe, about things that are real, that we don't quite perceive. There once was a witch who lived in the wood, who put out the fire as fast as she could. She hid the end of the world behind a door, and swore to keep it shut forevermore.
The three of you are tearing out of the town. You are shoving past friends, in particular Jonathan and Mayor Oakley. There are people who are trying to catch your attention, trying to grab your shoulder, trying to stall you for time. Even Toast, some people are asking you about your sister, how long you'll stay in town. You are getting bogged down. I need one of you to make a pull.
Sorry, official city matters. Official.
Yes.
All right, Miss Mayor, make a pull.
No,
fresh character, baby. You, Mayor Oakley could die too.
All right.
I believe in you.
You got it. You got it. All
See,
right.
See, the thing is that Mayor Oakley can pull.
Apparently, that's a good one. Excellent. Excellent. Mayor Oakley, would you like to flavor how you're getting out?
Honestly, I think that it's just like years of politicking around that she just like throws some bows where she needs to. This is official city matters.
And the town knows to stay out of your way. The three of you break through the last vestiges of the crowd. Jonathan, you look over and you do catch a sight of your moms kind of whipping their heads around watching as you run. But you do not stop. We can still hear Arthur's words following at your heels.
Others came, and the witch welcomed the town until George Spillman made sure she drowned. But she made a promise, her oath was sworn, and death can't stop a woman scorned.
You break into the tree line. The incline coming towards the mountains is growing thick. There are cobwebs covering almost every tree that you pass. The colewood trees, the spruces, and especially under this undergrowth, it is getting dark so fast. The terrain is difficult. Someone else make me a pull.
I got you.
Fob, please. Come on, Fob. Come on, Fob.
I got this.
Come on, Fob. 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 I cannot. I
got
Don't
come
make
on.
Her kill
Fob.
Again.
Fob. Oh my fucking god. Oh my god. Fob,
sure
you can't fake me out like that.
I can.
He can and he did.
Ugh. Okay. Toast, yes. Describe to me how you're navigating this dark undergrowth.
I'm just really, really good at being in dark places that I'm not supposed to be.
Very good.
Fair enough.
Toast is not above crawling on all fours to get places. Like, I think that's how I got to, like, the front of the crowd was I just crawled to the front of the stage and then just stood up. And it's people are like, what the fuck? And it's like, well, nay. So, yeah, like, we're, like, going over stuff. We're going around things. I've got a flashlight, so we can kind of see a little.
Yeah, Toast, you are leading the head of the pack with Mayor Oakley directing you at where to go and at what tree to move past. You have your phone flashlight lifted up and are lighting the way for your friends like a headlamp. And again, we still hear Arthur.
Her spiders will find you, give you a bite, and lure you into the woods at night. Give a bit of your blood, a bit of your mind, and she'll keep the rest of us safe for a time.
Trees are growing thick, almost claustrophobic. Branches and shrubs are tearing at your shoulders, tearing at your pants and at your clothes, trying to hold you back. It is as if every aspect of this witch's lair is trying to slow you down. There are patches in the ground that you know, Jonathan and Mayor Oakley and Toast, you have intuited by this point that this is a mining town. There are old mine shafts, there are air shafts all over the place, and a lot of them are well hidden and overgrown. One step could send you plummeting thousands of feet down. One more pull.
Got it.
Come on, Johnny boy. Honey Bunch.
Come on, Honey Bunch.
Don't break this your mother's hearts even more by dying.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. That's not a good row either, though.
It's not terrible.
It's
but it's
okay.
Not terrible. It's okay. Okay.
Better
it's
than
okay.
The it's other okay. One.
Okay. Yeah. Woo. Okay.
Way to go, Jacob.
Yes.
I've done it.
Excellent. Jonathan, Mayor Oakley, I think her heel catches in one of the tree roots and she stumbles, but you are there to kind of brace her and keep her from falling. You run onwards. Again, we hear.
But the door isn't holding, and this year, instead of just taking a little, she'll bleed someone dead. And woe befall all of us who stray. The witch must always have her way.
And all of you crash into a clearing, this little alcove of trees, and you have all arrived at the Sentry Tree.
Do we see the witch?
Well, we'll get to that.
I don't like that.
No, we're here!
Despite its name, you see that this tree, as all of your necks crane upwards to regard it, has already outlived its alleged 100 years. It is a Colwood tree, the biggest you've seen in town by far. It is a sprawling mass of branches that shoot out from the base like an array of tendrils or lightning. The branches themselves have hundreds of those little buds on them, and it is bowing under its own weight. They are drooping, hanging down like a macabre mockery of a willow tree. The ground here is coated in that white, ashy powder, and every so often those little buds let out a little tuft of that gray pollen, like something deep underground is pulsing, knocking, stretching itself out and up through the roots and through the branches to try and taste unbroken sky. Someone, probably someone in town, has set up little hanging paper lanterns and strings and cloth flags in its branches, but the frivolity of the festival looks terribly out of place here. You are about 30 feet away from the tree when you stop. It is dark, so dark in this patch of forest. You see a figure, more silhouette than substance, standing at the base of the tree, and based on their physicality, it does look like Eloise. What do you do?
Run at her. Blade first.
Hey guys.
Hey, guy.
I have another spider fact for you. Do you
want to
hear
it? Spider fact.
I don't like... Wait. Why?
According to the Smithsonian Magazine, there is a spider in the Amazon that has been known to construct a decoy spider, building a doppelganger out of itself, made of dead leaves and the dry husks of their prey to confuse predators. Or in this case, to confuse a young, budding businessman. Jonathan, you run at this figure, which is just indeed a bunch of Stillman spiders suspended in their own web, taking the form of a witch that is not there. Please make me a pull.
I will do this. Terrible. Somebody else find the real witch and stab her.
Oh my god!
I'm sorry, Jacob.
This is fun.
You got it, though. You are the master of, like, suspenseful pulls at the best moment. Come on.
Yeah, you really are.
I believe you, Jacob. I believe in you. Save my sister.
Oh, come on. Oh, come on.
I've done it.
Okay. Ooh. All right. Okay, Jonathan, you run forward blade first and you shove it into what you realize too late is just a bunch of spiders in a very, very large web. You do not get caught. The sword does, and it sticks very fast. From your position, you are able to see around the large trunk of the tree where you see the real Eloise. She is not bothering with her glamour anymore. You see her for what she is, dead and drowned and desperate. You also see around the back of the tree at its base, her spiders are working furiously. They have formed an entire cocoon of silk obscuring the base. You do see a silhouette inside, who you presume to be Spencer. You cannot see what is happening beneath that web, but her spiders are working overtime to keep her penned in. She cannot escape, and so whatever is going on is going on. And when Eloise sees you, she looks enraged.
I don't have time for petulant children who don't understand the stakes. Don't make me spill more blood than I have to.
And she is going to gesture, and that massive silhouette of spiders will reform and is going to try to lunge at you.
I'm going to try to run away and also hopefully grab a stick.
Are you leaving your cool sword?
The cool sword, I was told, was stuck. And then I was also recently told about how super stuck spider webs can be. So I would like a different stick, please.
But there are coldwood trees around,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
This is a coldwood tree.
Excellent. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Jonathan, make me another pull to, one, dodge and also grab a cool stick. Mayor Oakley and Toast, while Jonathan is doing this, what would you like to...
Oh, no.
No, 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 you're shitting me.
Fuck.
Jonathan, great, successful pull. Yes. So it doesn't move quite right. Like, it is like two men in a trench coat, but thousands of spiders upon thousands of spiders. So it is very gangly and jerky, almost like trying to animate the limbs of something dead, as this spider carapace woman will lunge for you. You duck out of the way. It had really thought you were going to try to grab your sword again, so it miscalculates. And when it falls, it kind of explodes into a bunch of little spiders that get scattered across the floor. There are several that kind of get blown onto all of your pant legs that are going to try to start crawling up all of you as the mound in the center reforms. Jonathan, you do see a very good-looking stick pretty close to the ground of the coalwood tree, of the century tree, in front of you.
I grabs it.
In the meantime, I want to run and try and splash the witch with water. I feel like that'll learn her.
That'll learn her. Okay. Mayor Oakley, what would you like to do?
God, I don't know. I think the mayor is, like, she knows that, like, she's not being piloted anymore or compelled anymore. And so, like, she's maybe gonna use that to kind of, like, taunt the witch and try and, like, throw her off her rhythm maybe a little bit so that, like, Toast can get the drop on her. So, like, she'll run up and be like, you don't want to deal with children, but what about the mayor of Spillman?
Amazing.
Incredible.
That's great.
Perfect. Jacob and Fob, for your respective actions, please both make me a pull.
Sure.
I believe in you.
It'll be fun.
Oh, shit. No, 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 no! No!
Dang it!
Oh, my fucking God.
Well, I tried.
You're shitting me!
No! No!
But I was so valiant for you!
Oh, my God.
Rip our business.
Oh,
shit.
No!
Okay.
That's tragic.
Shit. Jonathan, 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 Jonathan. Okay, 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 okay. We reset that bad boy once again. Fob, please make a pull for water.
Yeah,
and,
no problem.
You should know that we... pause the Spencer timer when we were resetting the tower, but I started it again, so, hurry up.
I got you. ho, ho. And it's fine. We're fine.
Okay.
I'm fine. I love that Toast is going to be the sole survivor.
Well, and Mayor Oakley.
Oh, yeah, and Mayor Oakley.
I'm here, too. I am here.
So I think what happens in this order, Toast, you start moving. Mm-hmm. Mayor Oakley, you make a grandiose show. You yell this out at the witch. She whirls around and you see this rotted, drowned, sopping, wet face and eyes that are burning with a fear and with a desperation that you don't quite understand. She gives you but a parting glance and then motions towards Jonathan.
No.
Jonathan, you reach for the stick. It's almost like it was placed there to tempt you. You reach for this low-hanging branch, and as you go to do it, fun spider fact, there's a thing called trapdoor spiders where they have a little trapdoor, and then they spring, and they jump out, and they attack people. And, Jonathan, you do that. The figure made of spiders reforms from under that patch of shadowy brush right in front of you, leaps, tackles you, and you have the singular sensation of thousands of tiny legs and fangs biting and dragging.
Oh.
You are dragged to the ground. You are dragged backwards about like 20 feet. One of those air shafts in the old mine. The spiders know where all of those are. Oh. And you find yourself in an instant in free fall. You have a sickeningly long sensation of confusion by the time you realize that you are falling. Everything is dark. Mayor Oakley, Toast, you see Jonathan get dragged away and fall. You hear a very resonant and echoing thud. Eloise turns to you, Mayor Oakley, and she gestures and she says,
"What care have I for mayors when I don't even stand the founders?"
As she says that, Toast, you come up from behind her and throw this water that's been infused with Arthur McGupple's McGuppliness from his dunk tank onto
his
her. His musk, I guess.
His musk? That's worse. Oh, no.
That's worse. You see her scream, and she curls inward on herself and almost starts to shrivel up. She doubles over and almost falls to the ground in the most intense pain that you have ever seen. As that happens, not quite related to that, but you all kind of feel the ground shake a little bit. The Colwood tree itself kind of vibrates and the buds rattle and more of that pollen is jostled and starts falling around you like ash from a disaster or snow. Things are unsteady, and Spencer said it very well when she intuited that something is not right. The witch is in front of you. She is doubled over, but she jerks up at this motion, and she looks panicked. She turns her back to you and turns her attention back to the cocoon at the base of the tree. What do the two of you do?
I'm jumping on the cocoon to try and, like, pull Spencer out. Like, I gotta get my sister out of there.
Okay. make me a pull. Please don't fucking die. Please don't.
I'm gonna do my best.
So we reset the tower and we made like some pulls, but like I hope
I am the tower. I am the breeze. I am the swaying of the tower. It's fine. I will sway with the tower.
Fab. Motherfucker, stop pulling from that bad row.
Are you kidding me?
Okay. You can't keep pulling from the bottom. Look at how it ended up the first time. We can't do that.
It ended up great for me. I'm going to be okay.
This is insane. This is insane.
I'm so intense. This is so crazy.
Toast.
This is story one, y'all.
Yeah, what?
I know. Season two, man. Season two's popping.
Okay. Toast.
Yeah.
You and Eloise move towards the cocoon at the same time, one of you with the intent to save, the other with the intent to kill. You beat Eloise there. You start to rip at the threads. Mayor Oakley, you see the witch start to move in something primal, something feral, something desperate as she starts to lunge for Toast as the spidery figure that had thrown Jonathan into the mineshaft starts to reform and is moving towards the both of you at crazy speed. There is another shudder from the ground beneath you. You have 3 minutes left, by the way.
What are we doing?
I take off after the witch to try and, like, pull her back to keep her away from Toast.
Yes.
You would know that you can't touch ghosts. Nothing can touch ghosts except the things that killed them. But if you want to pick up a stick on your way.
I mean, yeah, I just take off towards her again, grab a stick as I go. I'm going to attempt to take her out as well.
Okay. Here's what we're going to do. Both of you make me a pull. This is it. Like, this is the moment. Okay. This is the time. Okay.
You got
Christine's
this.
Christine's going first. Okay.
You got
okay,
this.
Okay.
It's going to be good.
I
you
believe in you with all of my heart.
I also believe in you.
Oh, thank God. Okay. Nicely done, Christine. Fabrice, look at me. Mm-hmm. Look at me right now. Yeah. I need you to make this pull successfully. I need you to do this. No goofing here. Please. I will cry.
No, we're good. Come on. It's...
Oh, my fucking God.
That was close.
Okay. Toast, Mayor Oakley. This all happens in 10 seconds. You barely hear the thud of Jonathan's body hit the ground at the bottom of this tunnel. Then you spring into action. Toast, you rip through the spider webs, through sheer brute force alone. All of it is clinging to your arms, almost like you have a cast on. You are elbow deep. You rip through the cocoon and you are able to pull your sister out. She is unconscious. She is bleeding, but she is still alive. You have managed to save her with under a minute to spare. You aren't able to see what exactly is happening at the base of the tree, but when you pull her out and you give her a look over, you notice her hand has the same marking that Arthur McCupples had. That Lichtenberg figure, lightning-esque scar, only hers is much, 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 much more fresh and still actively bleeding. Ooh. Mayor Oakley, simultaneous to this, you come up behind the witch, this woman who has puppeted you around, who has stolen your agency, who has lived through you and lived for you for an untold amount of time. You have a coalwood stick and you run her through. Eloise staggers almost like a dance. You have to pirouette with her to keep the stick in her as she is made of air, but you do keep it through her long enough to get her back several steps away from the tree. She crumples to the ground and her form flickers. She does not dissipate, but in whatever way that you can wound a ghost, you have wounded her gravely.
Good.
And as Eloise's scream gives way to ragged breaths, there is the sense of something being broken, a tension in the air that snaps. There is an almost sacred moment of stillness as Mayor Oakley, Toast, you both look at each other and you realize that you've done it. You have stopped the witch's plans. With Spencer no longer connected to the tree, you have stopped the ritual that Eloise has been doing for countless generations. A witch's ritual that, as she said, is something that you don't fully understand. Something that has been keeping a true horror at bay. Beneath your feet, there is a pulse. Something that might have been a metaphor for a heartbeat if it didn't sound so alien and so somehow terrible. Everyone hears it. A sound that echoes through the roots and old mining caverns that honeycomb under the town like some terrible net. Under the earth in those same tunnels where somewhere Jonathan's broken body lies alone. We all hear the sound
of a door opening, the popping of a lock, the unsealing of a tomb.
From her place on the ground, Eloise looks terrified beyond measure. The spiders around you begin to flee. It disintegrates from that form, scurrying as fast as they can away from you and away from their master as they try in vain to find safety in whatever burrows they can. And Eloise is screaming a ragged, horrible scream.
No, 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 no! You fucking fools!
And you hear something else. The emergency bells from St. Felix's Church begin to ring in town. There is another rumble under your feet, and while you do not see it from your place at the sentry tree, we see in the center of town as the earth and rock beneath the statue of George Spillman cracks and widens into a maw as something that has been locked away in the tunnel under the square is unleashed. The ground collapses in on itself, swallowing the statue as festival goers start to scream and run and panic. You taste their panic on the wind. The sentry tree in front of you, in a simultaneous, choreographed, elated dance with the other Colwood trees in town, quivers as that horrid gray ash, something is shot out of their buds. Your lungs constrict in the wake of the smoke, this soot, this choking air. Things suddenly get hot. There is something that looks like acid or tar or just blackness that starts to fall from the sky in globules. And you are left standing there in the wake of this inconceivable destruction, helpless and petrified as you gaze out at the town that you have doomed. And that is where our story ends.
What?
Ooh.
Well.
Marissa, we did good. You said we stopped the bad thing.
Okay. Maybe not quite. It's hard to tell sometimes when you've reached the end of something. The phantasmal destruction of Spillman, the death of a family patriarch, the macabre motivations of a dead woman. What we have is a puzzle missing pieces. Or maybe the better metaphor would be to call it a tapestry missing threads. Threads of a web that connect and intertwine and bind. Roots that stretch and creep and reach. Every story needs an ending, and every story needs a beginning, but it's harder to know just where to start. Do we start with a funeral, with a car ride to an unfamiliar town, to a home now unknown? Do we start with a local diner, sitting at the edge of a wood? Do we start with a cemetery or the rough-hewn tunnels of a mine? Or do we rely on the legends that came before us, passed down in hushed whispers and lullaby tones? There once was a witch who lived in the woods. Except, even that's not quite right. That's not how it's always been told. There once was a witch who lived in the woods. There once was a woman who lived in the town. There once was a girl who was murdered at dawn. There once was a door that was supposed to stay shut. There once was. Maybe this isn't where it all ends, but before we find out, let's go back. Let's go back and see which parts of the stories are true. See how a woman became a witch and how a horror was forgotten. Let's go back and see what this place was to make sense of what it is. Welcome to Spillman.
Thank you.
This episode brought to you by the love of Faba Marissa, publicly acknowledged.
Ah!
Gross.
Okay, bye.
There once was a group of podcasters who was very thankful to you for listening to Dread and Breakfast. Thank you to Mallory Swisher-Kroll for being the voice of our witch, Eloise. You can find links to all of her projects in the episode notes. Our theme song is composed by Morgan Thomas Mills and samples music courtesy of the American Folklife Center, Library of Congress. A full list of our sound credits and content warnings are also linked in the episode notes. Don't forget to tell a friend about our show and leave a rating and review on the podcast app of your choice. Word of mouth is the best way to support our show and help us grow. And finally, thank you, dear listener, for, well, listening. As you may have guessed by now, the story is not complete, so join us in a week for our breakfast episode, where we'll talk about the behind the scenes, the what could have beens, and perhaps a little bit of what's still to come. See you then.